Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll move on this listener right now in your gentle, loving, powerful, and merciful way as they listen to this message from All Nations Church in Tallahassee. Amen.
I am preaching this morning, continuing Pastor Steve's series. It's such a joy on Called and Anointed, the Believer's Walk Today. It's so amazing that many believers have the privilege of coming to the knowledge of Christ through an altar call. In them hearing about Jesus and many being really sad for their sins, they come through repentance to Jesus. But what is this believer's walk all about? So you've done, Pastor, I've had an altar call. I gave my life to Jesus. And I've been coming to All Nations for a couple of years. What more is there to this Christian life? I actually have been doing well. I come to church every Sunday. I give my tithe. I give my offering. Is there more to the walk with Jesus? Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul, writing to the Philippi church, begins to narrow down and fix the focus behind why we've come to Christ. And he says, not that I've already obtained, already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold that which Christ took hold of me. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I press on towards this same goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. He begins to paint a picture to the saint that, yes, now you're born again. You've given your life to Christ, but there's a goal. There's a reason why he saved us. And so Philippians 3:14, he says that I press on towards the goal, or I press on towards the standard of the reason of my being begotten from sin. So God did not beget us from sin for us just to come to church. The reason why he raised you and me was so that we will come to the place where we'll become like Jesus. Each one of us is invited to walk with Jesus every single day after we repent from our sins. 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives a prize? Then he says, run your race in such a way that you may obtain the prize. One of the invitations we receive after we become Christians is that God calls and invites us into a marathon journey of running a race. Each one of us have been called to run a race. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. So right from the time you become born again, God begins to invite you not just to become like Christ, but to run that race to fulfill everything he has planned for you. Amen. So each believer is called and invited into a race. He's not just called and invited to come to church. He's called into a race, and a race of inheriting everything in Christ. And he says that you need to begin to run in such a way so that you will be able to finish this race. If we do not begin to recognize that there's a race to be run, we seem to live our lives as called people as if there's nothing at stake. There's something at stake. There's something at stake. And what is at stake is that God has called us to run the race of faith. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it says, I have finished that race and I have kept the faith. The race is a calling to keep the faith. It's not enough to have faith yesterday. God calls you and me to run the race and keep the faith all the days of our very lives. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, let us run with endurance this race that is set before us. There's a race to be run when we receive Jesus as our Savior. And so to this morning, I summarize my message by talking about the hands needed to run this race. There are hands needed to run this race if we believe we are called to run the race as believers. Five hands, so on my left will be the values needed for every person who believes he's called to run the race. And then on the other five hands will be the other five essentials necessary, or the five disciplines needed to be able to run this race successfully. Amen. All right, so when we're worshiping, the beautiful thing I loved about the worship is that they began to preach the message through worship. Songs of Solomon 1 verse 4, the Bible says, "Draw me after you and let us run together." Can we project that verse? "Draw me after you and let us run together. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will rejoice in you and be joyful. We will praise your love more than wine." Songs of Solomon 1 verse 4. He's beginning to speak. So Song of Solomon is almost like an allegory between Solomon and the Shulamite. And they're beginning to have conversations. And the Shulamite looks to Solomon and says, "Draw me after you and let us run together." The Shulamite begins to understand that it's almost like a conversation between a bride and a groom. And she's speaking to Solomon and says, "Draw me after you and let us run together." When you come to Christ, it's not an invitation to discover your own plan. It's an invitation to run the race that Christ himself has said. We don't come to Christ and begin to have a 5-year, 10-year, 20-year plan to do our own thing. It's an invitation to run alongside him. So in Songs of Solomon 1 verse 4, he says, "Draw me and let us run together." God wants to run together with you in this journey of life and faith. It's not a calling for us to do something alone. It's an invitation to run alongside God in what he's doing in the earth. How many people believe God is doing something in the earth, that he's not left us comfortless? He is inviting you this morning that you can run together with him. You can run together with God and fulfill his purpose in the earth. And so it's almost like a conversation between a husband and a wife. When a man and a woman would meet and end up getting married, they will begin to discover that both of them as individuals have setting paths they want to take, certain desires, certain concerns. And so what would happen over time is that we begin to find out the things our spouses like, right? And so maybe your spouse likes to watch football or soccer, and you don't like watching soccer, but there are many ladies who over time discover a passion for soccer. How did it start? It started with you understanding the desire of the one you love. When we begin to walk with the Lord, slowly but surely we begin to have attention of the desires of God's heart. If indeed we love the Lord, we will be concerned about his desires. It's a problem when you walk with someone and you love him and you do not care about their desires. If we carry the love of Jesus, then it is very important that as believers, we begin to care for his love. So the first value that we must have as called ones is that we must not just love the Lord, we must begin to care or love the things that he loves. What are the things that God loves that we do not love? Many Christians love so many other things. Pastor Steve was sharing this with us recently, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. It says, "In the last days, perilous times will come. Many will be lovers of themselves." Most of us are walking with Jesus, but are so selfish in our walk with him. When true agape comes in our heart, we are concerned about the things he cares for instead of loving our own self. Another thing that would compete with the love of God is that we will begin to love the world. The Bible said in the end, many people's love will begin to wax cold. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 to 13, because iniquity will bow, many people's love will wax cold. This morning, I'm asking you a question. Is your love for Jesus waxing cold? Because one of the first things you must do, see, he is holy means that he is of one sort alone. And the holy God begins to call you and me, preserve and by the power of his blood, consecrate us to be holy. And so in his presence, we carry that nature of God's holiness. And that is what prepares us to be able to serve in his presence. And the first thing he looks for is that you must carry his heart. You must carry what is important to him. And one of the things that is important to him is that God loves the world, irrespective of how they look like, irrespective of their age, irrespective of their weakness. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The Bible never said, for God so loved Asians. For God only loved people in Tallahassee. For God only loved United States of America. The love of God is beyond loving United States of America. He loved the whole world. What are you saying, Pastor Liu? Does God love the worst criminal who ever lived? Yes. For God so loved the world. So if you will walk as a called one, you must begin to carry that kind of love to be able to love all kinds of people. If not, the love that you carry is not the love of God. It is so important that if we're going to be called and anointed and walk after God, then we must love the way he loves. There are times where our love seems to be selective. I can love you if you come to All Nations, but if you go to that church down the road, I can't love you. See, our gospel is becoming different because our heart is not after the heart of the one who has called us. And so the first thing, the first value is love. The second value is faith. Yes, you must have faith in God, but this morning I want to talk about something which I believe will change everything. As I kept praying, the Lord spoke to my heart and he says, my church is in danger of missing out. It's happening all over. Can you not see it? And I said, God, what's happening here? And the Lord says, Mark 6, verse 5 and 6. And Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. There's something happening and it's creeping into the church. Many in the church have their heart hardened through unbelief. So the second key or the second thing you must have as a called one is that you must have faith. What is happening is that the Bible says to us that the gospel which was preached to us, we can see it in the Bible. Let's look at it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, see therefore that it remained that some entered therein, for whom it was first preached, entered not because of unbelief. So we were able to come to church and play religion, but what is happening is that we've become dead and insensitive to the voice of God. And so when I was preparing my notes, one of the most important things God said is, tell my people not to harden their heart through unbelief. See, in the Old Testament, the Bible speaks to us of a man called Pharaoh who hardened his heart when the word of God came and will not let God's people go. But the amazing thing is that it wasn't only Pharaoh who hardened his heart. The Israelites also hardened their hearts and therefore could not enter into the promises of God. If you are going to be called and anointed, you cannot live a luxurious life of unbelief. There is so much unbelief in the church. This week, there were floods all over Dubai. And when you look and read about it, in Dubai, they've been practicing something called seeding the clouds. And so when they want to have rain in Dubai, they literally seed the cloud so they can have rain. What has been happening unaware is the enemy has been seeding the cloud of unbelief. And most of our hearts have become hardened to the voice of God. We've become expert to being able to come to church and play religion and still walking in disobedience. We've become experts in living in our sin and rejecting the voice of God. God has been waking you up every morning at 3 o'clock to pray, and you've become expert in going right back to bed. He says you are hardening your heart with unbelief. God has been speaking to you to do something and you're not doing it, and you become comfortable hardening your heart with unbelief. The Bible says the word which was preached to them was also preached to us, but it did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. See, the importance of faith is not that was the message great on Sunday. The message can be great. Even in the time of the disciples, Jesus comes on earth and he preaches the gospel. But how many were saved? We found only 120 in the upper room. What happened to everybody else? They did not mix with the word they received with faith. They rather walked in unbelief. The Lord is actually warning individuals, starting with me, that it's not okay to harden your heart in unbelief. What does this mean? Anytime you live your life as a Christian, contrary to the word of God, you're walking in unbelief. Anytime you intentionally turn your face to the other side when God has said that you should give to the poor, you're walking in unbelief. Anytime you choose to gratify your flesh instead of sowing to the Spirit, you are walking in unbelief. And the Lord says that today, if you hear his word, harden not your heart. We cannot follow a God and be swamped with unbelief. He said, I would heal you, but you are trying to find your own way for healing. He said, I'll provide, but you're trying to provide for yourself. He says that this time, harden not your heart with unbelief. So the second value for the called one is that he must learn now to seed his heart with faith. The Bible says to us, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's time to begin to seed our lives with faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now in the church, there's more entertainment, there's more feel-good things happening than faith. And therefore, we're seeding our heart for unbelief. And that is why it's not strange that many churches will die out. Because the essential ingredient to run the race is faith. So God is calling us to step into a new season where we step away from unbelief. The Bible says in Mark 6:6, Jesus could not do any mighty work amongst them because of their unbelief. What does it mean? In your day of visitation, God can be moving, but with unbelief, you will not receive what God has for you. It's time for us to turn our hearts from unbelief and to rise up in faith and say, this is my day of visitation. This is the day of breakthrough. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to believe God's word, and he will do what he has spoken. Amen. And so by faith, we are able to build a value system of walking and receiving what God has for us. The next two, we need to have patience. Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a season for everything under heaven. Everything God has promised you, the called one must have a mindset that's a timing for everything God wants to do. The next one, James 1:22, action. So the fourth one is that it is required for everyone called to honor action. It's not enough to say, I believe, without taking action. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. One day God said to me, do you know that when you say that, Lord, I believe in prayer and do not pray, you are deceiving your own self? You know, actually, sometimes you get to your prayer room and you put on the music and you don't pray. And God looks at you and says, what do you think you're doing? Refusing to obey God's word is the same as walking in unbelief. Whenever God gives you a direction and you say, God, I'll do that tomorrow, it's inaction and it's unbelief. There are too many Christians who are experts in talking about prayer than really praying. Experts in talking about worship than worshiping. When was the last time you went on a fast? I know you can give me all the verses on fasting, Isaiah 58, but when are you really going to get down to fasting? I know you know about the fruits of the Spirit. You can rattle Galatians 5:22. But when are you going to have some self-control? The Bible says that at the end, there's going to be a form of godliness denying the power thereof. And it's talking about mental assent. In other words, we are full of understanding, but we do very little. And God says without that, if we don't begin to take action, we will miss out on being the called ones. The last one for being the value. Proverbs 22, verse 28 to 29. This is very important. I see that for generations, God has begun to call all kinds of people, but this is missing. A very important value system, and it's the value system of diligence and continual skill building. You see, people talk about, I believe God is about to bless me financially, but we refuse to go to work. People will talk about, I believe that God will bless me with so much blessing for me and my children's children, but we refuse to save and invest for their children. I'm telling you the truth, without us being diligent. So let's read the verse. Maybe Pastor Leo is just talking. Proverbs 22:29. What does it say? My tablet keeps locking. I don't know what's happening. It says that, Proverbs 22:28-29. Do not remove the ancient boundary stone which your fathers have placed. 29. Do you see a man skilled and diligent in his work? He will stand before kings. And he will not stand before mere men. You have been praying to God for a breakthrough, and God has been leading you to go get your masters. There's a certain skill set needed for you to succeed. So the church must now value diligence, hardworking. You must become hardworking. But not only that, you must recognize that we have stepped into a new season that without a certain type of skill, you will not be able to inherit what God has for you. He says, have you seen a man skilled in all his work? When David was entering into his call, Saul would say that, I need a man who is skilled in playing the harp. There are many times in my life I had the privilege of working with people, not because I was anointed, not because I was a nice guy with a nice smile. I would have loved that they loved my smile. I said, Leo, we're happy you had a nice smile, so can we work with you? Or maybe you go to All Nations Church. It's not going to be enough. Rather, they said, you have the skill, we need the skill. Believers must start thinking that what is the skill needed? David was going to get ready to become a king, and he needed to learn the skill of using a sword. And so to get the skill of using a sword, the Bible says to us that David came into the place where God gave him the privilege of getting skills of serving with Saul. And so the first five, if you've lost it, is the value of love, the value of faith, the value of action, the value of patience, and then the last left hand is the value of diligence and skill gathering. So what happens after I've got this? Psalm 144 verse 1. The master key for us to become all that Christ has called us, which is being disciples, lies in this next part. Psalm 144 verse 1. Blessed be the God and my strength, who teacheth my hands for war and my fingers to fight. If we refuse a time of training, we will never amount to much in the earth. I do not want anyone who is not skilled working on my refrigerator at home. They will literally break it. Most Christians say God has called them to do ABC, but never take time to get the skill necessary to do this. One of the things that David did after he discovered God had called him is that he said, blessed be the Lord who trained my hands for war. One of the things God wants to do is that he wants to begin to train us and prepare us for the assignments ahead. Pastor said last week that in the earth, in 1 Samuel 3 verse 1, there were things which were rare in the earth in that day. And the first thing which was rare, he says that there was things which were rare were the revelation of the word of God. If we're going to go ahead to be able to make a difference as an army, we must begin to embrace that God will have to give us revelation. Amen. Say to someone, revelation. We need a fresh revelation of who God is. Without revelation, we will not be able to step and march as the army he's called us to. The second thing we need in the earth is that we need God to send us teaching priests. It's so important that God sends us teaching priests. 2 Chronicles 15, 3 to 6. It says that there were no teaching priests in the land. One of the things that God does for us in bringing transformation is that he sends teaching priests. When I'm coming to church here on Sunday, I know the worship is great, but I know, oh my God, Pastor Steve is going to bring the word. It is necessary because in the end, the Bible says that men will heap upon themselves teachers because they have itchy ears. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you do not have a love to hear sound doctrine, I don't know where you're going. And so the enemy has robbed the church of teaching priests, men and women who can soundly divide the word of truth and build us into the holy house that God has called us. The last thing which has become rare is blacksmiths have been disappearing from the church. 1 Samuel 13:19 to 23, It says in verse 19, there was no blacksmith in Israel found in all the land. See, when the Philistines wanted to paralyze the people of Israel so they could not fight battles, they made sure that there was no one in the camp of Israel who was skilled like a blacksmith. I'm announcing this morning that God is raising blacksmiths in the church. What does this mean? These blacksmiths had the sole responsibility to make swords and weapons of war so that God's people could fight battles. So it was only the king, it was only Saul and his son Jonathan who had swords at that time. And everyone else had a hoe and a catalyst. Imagine going for war and all you have is a hoe. There's not much victory you can have here, right? So when God called David and began to train him for war, he put him in the service of a king who had a sword. David learned how to use the sword and therefore raised the 12 mighty men of David. And now in Israel, there was a blacksmith because David learned the art of making swords. Now to the church of Jesus Christ, God is sending blacksmiths, trainers, and equippers to strengthen the body of Christ. For so long, the enemy has caught the body happy just to come to church on Sunday and powerless in time of crisis. So in time of crisis, the people of God will say, can I get my hold of a pastor? Can I get hold of a prophet? But God's vision, we see in Ephesians chapter 4, he says that he gave these gifts to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. God is sending equippers back to the church, blacksmiths, people who can teach you how to cast out demons, people who can teach you how to pray, people who can teach you to divide the word of truth, people who can teach you to stand firm in faith. The enemy was happy to have many in the church who were powerless when it came to spiritual warfare. They did not know how to read the Bible, and so in time of crisis, they would take the Bible and put it under their pillow. And the devil would still come. Have you tried that before? You were having nightmares and you put a pillow and the Bible under your pillow and you still had a nightmare. Because the Bible under your pillow has no power, is the word of God in your mouth. I'll say it again. The Bible under your pillow has no power, is the word of God in your mouth. And so God will begin to bring us blacksmiths. People who are skilled in making weapons of war. And that's why Pastor Steve is here. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here in all nations. We're preparing the army to be equipped, fulfilling what God has called them to do. And now is that time. So we step into the second hand. In the second hand, there are disciplines. There are things that would help us to grow. So as a Christian, yes, it's good to have values, but there are five internal disciplines that you must practice as a believer. So there are internal disciplines, the external disciplines, there are corporate disciplines. You can study later. I put everything here for you. But today, I just want to talk shortly about five internal personal disciplines. Why? We're not the first Christians to ever live. There are many who have walked this way before us. There are many who have run this race before us, and they set something called disciplines. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, my last verse for today. Jesus, when he came on earth, subjected himself to discipline and to customs and to spiritual practices. To call yourself a Christian or a follower of Jesus or a believer or a disciple, the word disciple means disciplined ones. Are there some disciples here? Oh, I just see two hands here. I said, are there some disciples here in all nations? If we are called to be disciples, then we must walk in discipline. So Jesus in Luke 4 verse 16, let's read that verse, my last verse for today. It says, and Jesus, even though he was God, he did something amazing. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he was brought up. Can you project that verse for me, please? And as was his custom, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So Jesus, even though he was God, availed himself to certain disciplines. The word there is custom, is the same word practice, the same word discipline. There are too many Christians walking around looking for a Holy Spirit encounter without any discipline. Without sound biblical Christian disciplines, you have no chance against the enemy out there. You have no chance in running this race and keeping the faith. And so I want to just talk about these five because of time. The first discipline, or one of the customs of Jesus, of which we know, the first discipline is meditation. Joshua 1 verse 8. In Joshua 1 verse 8, he says, "This book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. You will meditate upon it day and night, and be sure to do what is written in it, and then you'll be successful and prosperous." When you read the Bible, the ancient art of meditation is the way by which you juice the word. Say to someone, "I want to learn how to juice the word." Say to someone, "I want to learn to juice the word." What does it mean? The scripture in itself sounds okay. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." So we become experts at quoting verses which mean nothing to us. Through the ancient art of meditation upon the word of God, we're able to receive the life and the spirit behind the word. For every word spoken from God, behind that word is spirit and life. And so through meditation, we must learn how to meditate. In other words, we think on the word or ponder on the word to receive the life and the spirit. So you start John 3:16. He said, "For God so loved the world." And you sit there and said, "Okay, who's speaking here is God. Okay. He loved the world." So God loves people throughout the world. Is there a lesson here? Then you pick up a lesson. That he gave his only begotten son. So God is not giving us prophets this time. He's giving his only son. So God has an ability to have children. So that's how I became born again. Born after not of the incorruptible seed, but of that incorruptible seed, right? I was born again, sons and daughters, because Jesus was one of God's children. That whosoever believeth in him. So it's not tied to those who come to all nations, but it's for whosoever believeth in him. Doesn't mean people in prison who believe can be saved. Yes, because they are whosoever should not perish but have everlasting life. So those who believe in Jesus have something called everlasting life, have something called eternal life. So you said, "Oh my God, I was not feeling too well today, but I'm just finding out something. I have something called eternal life, everlasting life. There's the life of God in me. I'm walking around, but in me is the life of God." So through meditation, we are able to juice. You know, it's like making some juice. Am I using the right word? Okay. I don't know about you, but I struggle to eat apples and fruits. But when they juice it and make a good drink out of it, I can drink. Oh, yes. You take some watermelon and you juice it and put it in the freezer and put some ice. That's my style. Sometimes you hear the preaching of God's word and it's hard for you to digest it. The way by which faith comes, it comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Sometimes when preaching comes, you don't understand. So you need to go listen to a preaching message and listen to that word again. For some of you, you need to watch a movie about the word of God. And some of you, you must have someone else explain it to you. So meditation is vital. Without meditation, we can't grow and become strong in Christ. The second one, because of time, fasting. Individual fasting is necessary for us to become strong in the Lord. You see, the reason why disciplines are important is that each one of us has potential. Without going through discipline, we will not achieve the potential God put in us. Let's look at it. So it's so important that believers surrender themselves to discipline. The verse for this is go through discipline. Okay, so fasting. You need to fast so that you can allow God to speak to you. The next one is personal study of the word. No one is going to read the Bible for you. I love audio Bibles, but audio Bibles is not the same as reading the Bible. You need to go through a personal discipline of studying the Bible and studying Christian material if you are to grow and become strong. The next one, accountability. Every believer needs accountability to God, to their peers, and to everyone. It's one of the ways by which we can grow. And the last discipline for today is prayer. Prayer is one of the disciplines that opens communication with God, who created the heavens and the earth. 1 John 5 verse 14. This is the confidence we have when we approach God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Each one of us is invited to begin to practice this discipline of prayer. Without living a life of praying and talking to God, our Christian life becomes weak. Interesting prayers you can pray. Mark 1:35. A great while before day, Jesus would wake up and pray. Some of us are so busy we can't pray during the day. In Mark 1:35, Jesus begins to show us that we can pray early in the morning. The next kind of prayer, private prayer. Matthew 6, verse 6 to 8. He says, when you pray, close your door. In other words, it's not okay, and I say it again, it's not okay that you pray only on Sunday morning. We cannot limit prayer to the church of God. You cannot pray when you come to church and the rest of the week not pray. You will not be strong. Believers must learn how to pray privately. And so the Bible says, when you pray, close your closet. I have a question for you. When was the last time you prayed and closed your closet? Matthew 18, 19 to 20. It says that if two shall agree on a thing, the next kind of prayer, the prayer of agreement. I use this prayer a lot. When I'm praying for things and I'm not seeing breakthrough, the Bible said, if two shall agree on a thing. And to this morning, we're going to practice that before we leave here. This is a prayer of agreement. You find another believer and join your faith with them and said, in the name of Jesus, I want you to agree with me on something for God to do this. And then the last prayer, praying at all times, in all places. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without season, and give thanks in all circumstances. Stand to your feet with me. We want to practice a Christian discipline this morning. One of the disciplines is the discipline of prayer. The sound of prayer is quickly leaving our churches. We are expert worship leaders, and very little time is given to prayer. This morning, we want to practice the prayer of agreement. Matthew 18, 19 to 20. It says, if two shall agree on earth, touching anything. I want you to find someone in the church and join hands with them. We want to pray the prayer of agreement. Only one person. So find one person's hand. And I want you to, first of all, introduce yourself and say, hi, my name is Leo. Hi, my name is Steve. Come on, church. Don't get shy on me. And the prayer of agreement is this. It didn't say just pray amiss. It says that if two shall agree, touching anything. Now, after you've introduced yourself, turn to the person and said, I need you to agree with me on this. Because the fervent prayer of the righteous make it tremendous power available. And so right now, there's about to be released power in this place. Talk to the person and say, I need you to agree with me on this. We're about to pray just for the next 1 minute. And say, sister, I need you to pray with me for healing. I need you to pray with me for breakthrough. There is power available when saints lift up their faith in prayer. And after you find out what they need you to pray about, I want you to begin to pray for them by name. And say, in the name of Jesus, we practice this discipline of prayer, of agreement. Lord, I have faith for my sister for breakthrough today. In the name of Jesus, let the power of the enemy be crushed concerning them. Church, begin to pray. Whether it's loud prayer or silent prayer, we will learn to intercede one for another again. Begin to pray for one another and say, God, hear our cry concerning this thing. Some people in this church need a new job. Some people in this church, they've been struggling with addictions, and addiction must be broken. Today we'll agree by faith and say, in Jesus' name, Lord, come through for them. Begin to pray. Come on. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. We agree. We agree. We agree. We agree with God for deliverance, for healing. We agree with God for the peace of God. In the name of Jesus, that sorrow which has bound people. Oh, that the power of death be broken. We agree that it's a season of breakthrough for one another. We agree. We agree that this church is moving from glory to glory, from strength to strength. We agree that that which the enemy meant for evil, for my sister, for my brother, is coming to an end. Come on, agree. Come on, agree. Come on, agree. Agree, agree. Know that God is hearing you when you pray. Come on, know that God is hearing you when you pray. Agree concerning this thing. And for the team on the stage, you can still agree with each other as you play. Come on. We agree. Lift up your voice and pray. He said, I lifted my voice and I prayed and he heard me. We will be a praying church. 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 We will know how to pray. We will know how to lift up our voice to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the upper hand. Thank you for the upper hand. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Thank you. It's a new day as a church. Oh, begin to thank God for hearing your prayer today. Oh, begin to play us a song as we worship would be great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. The burdens are being lifted. Come on. We will not walk away from this church with any burden. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Hey, come on. Thank you, Jesus. We will pray one for another. We will pray one for another. Oh, Jesus, intervene. Yes, yes. Keep praying, keep praying. 30 seconds more. I'm inviting Pastor Steve because we have some other things to do. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Father, we lift up our voice. We are lifting up. You said your house shall be a house of prayer. This is a house of prayer. We belong to you. We know in this house there's the sound of freedom, there's the sound of deliverance, there's help coming from God, there's help coming from the Holy Ghost. Receive the help of the Holy Ghost. Receive help from God. Receive help from God. Receive help from God. Even in the name of Jesus. Even in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Let's worship. Come on.
This morning, breakthroughs happening and occurring, lives being transformed and changed because you chose to come in agreement with someone and share something that's very close and dear to you. When you do that, take it out of your hand and put it into God's hand. So how about we stop doing what we can do and we start putting it in his hand and let him do what he can do. Amen? Amen. He's mighty and powerful. He's worthy. He's wonderful. We worship him today. We magnify him. I'm going to ask Pastor Leo if you'll come and just stand down here front and center. And the team that's going to West Texas, if you'll come at this time as well. I'm excited that God has brought us a student ministries pastor who has a heart for the world. Pastor Leo is from Ghana. Line up right here facing the crowd, please. From Ghana, and he's going back to Ghana and to Uganda to preach the word in churches, villages, places that we could never go. You know, one of the great things about being at the place of life that I'm in right now is that I can see investments pay off. And I firmly believe that I'm called to put people on my shoulders and let them go where I'll never go and do what I'll never do and preach what I'll never preach and touch who I'll never touch. That's the wonderful part of pastoral ministry. People grow, develop, and then we send them out. It's a powerful thing, and I love it. All these men standing here have signed up for hard work. You say, well, Pastor Leo's just going to preach. No, 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 you don't understand. He's going where there's no air conditioning, no comforts of home. He's going where it takes hours via vehicle over horrible, rough roads to get there. It's going to be hardship, and we're require endurance, and he'll preach several times a day. He'll teach pastors in seminars. It's a great thing, and we've already made a significant investment in this ministry. We're glad to be able to send him out this morning. So right now, guys standing around him, just lay your hands on his shoulders and let's pray for Pastor Leo. Father, we pray for Pastor Leo today that a greater anointing would fall upon his life, that doors would be opened to him in Ghana and Uganda, that lives that have never heard the gospel would turn to you and accept you as their Lord and Savior, that believers across those countries would be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and their lives revolutionized and changed because you chose to use your servant and send him, and because he chose to say, "Here am I, speak my Lord. Here am I, speak my Lord." And now we pray for Pastor Alma and Leo. They're here at home. They'll stay behind. We pray for grace and strength to cover them, for encouragement to fill their hearts and to fill their lives. We pray that you'd enable them to do the things that you're calling to do right here in Tallahassee and at all nations. Before you leave today, hug his neck. Tell him how much you appreciated the message. We're going to be praying for him, and find Pastor Alma and convey the same thing to her. Would you do that, please? She's right here in front, down in front. The other four gentlemen stand before you are going to West Texas. They fly out next Sunday morning, flying to Amarillo, which is up in the Panhandle, and then we'll drive to Borger, Texas, which is about an hour and a half from Amarillo. We'll stay there. We're going to be building porches on mobile homes. Insurance companies replaced them. They brought in the new mobile homes, so we're going to be giving access to those residents. We'll rub shoulders with the folks that live there. We'll rub shoulders with the folks in the community. You may not realize it, that when the wildfires went through West Texas, 1.2 million acres was destroyed. Fences were destroyed. Over 10,000 head of cattle were destroyed. And over 500 homes were lost in that wildfire. So they're going to go and be a presence of Jesus Christ. They'll be smiling. They'll be happy. They'll be driving nails and running screw guns and running saws. And it's a young man's work. I'm glad they're young men. Working with M25 and Bishop Gary Bird, and seeing how we're talking last week, I said, "Man, I've got a great team coming from you for you. I've got four guys that are hard workers. They'll dig in. And then I got two loafers," talking about me and Yvonne. So we're going to have a good time, and we're going to use this as an opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have not yet heard. So would you stretch your hands out towards these guys, and let's pray over them. Father, I pray today for Jarvis and for Jeremiah, for Mark and for Eric. I pray that the presence of the living God would fill their hearts and flood their minds. I pray for strength to enter their bodies, strength for the task, strength to accomplish what you're calling them to do. I pray, Father, that you'd use their words as a testimony to those who don't know you. Allow them to be a source of strength and comfort and encouragement to those who have been devastated by this horrible wildfire. We just pray that your anointing would rest upon them. Patience would fill them. Endurance would overcome them. Use them in a mighty way in West Texas. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you so much. Be back next Wednesday night and then again on Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week.
You made it to the end of the message, and now what? Is God leading you to make a change? Are you needing a good church home where you can grow and help others grow as you fulfill your part in the body of Christ? Then we invite you to join us at All Nations Church on Scherer Road in Tallahassee, a multicultural church founded on the truth of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:30 and Wednesday night service at 7, plus youth group and kid power and small groups and more. For more information, visit our website, allnationstallahassee.com.